Welcome to Psych Pearls podcast by Psychiatric Times. With thoughtful insights into the world of psychiatry, this podcast provides timely clinical commentary and practical cutting-edge pearls for you and your practice. Enjoy.
I'm Lori Martin. We're here today with Dr. Calvin Chatlos, Associate Professor of Psychiatry at Rutgers University, to talk about COVID-19 and its impact on patients with mental health issues. Welcome, Dr. Chatlos.
Welcome. Thank you, Lori. I appreciate the opportunity to give this Mental Health Minute.
Tell us about yourself and what you've noticed lately in your work.
I'm an addiction psychiatrist, so my experience of COVID-19 is primarily with my patients. I direct an ambulatory withdrawal management program that is still actually seeing patients face to masked face and social distancing. And I run an outpatient co-occurring disorders program where, as most people that are watching this are probably doing it by telephone or televideo like this. So all of you out there, I sort of know what you're going through. You laugh.
We do.
I really
enjoyed your piece for Psychiatric Times about spirituality in the context of addiction. That was for the Portrait of a Psychiatrist series. Mm-hmm. Keeping this in mind, how can spirituality be implemented during the pandemic?
Let me start with just saying a little bit about spirituality and the role in mental health. Almost everybody out here that's paying attention, especially if it's psychiatrists, are familiar with where we start, the biopsychosocial model. All of you are familiar with sort of a circle. There's a biological part, there's a psychological part, there's a sociocultural part to every person. And in the middle, somehow the overlapping balances in a certain way, and we call it health. Well, I think that we then try to add a fourth circle called spirituality, and I think that we're looking in the wrong place. I refer to it as the streetlight effect.
What do you mean by that streetlight effect?
The streetlight effect is a story about the man that was looking for something under the streetlight where the light was good, but that was not where he lost it. My patients lose their health and their bearings for whatever reasons and start to pursue looking for it with drugs, with alcohol, in what I call a streetlight manner. They may pursue activities, gambling, sex, relationships, money, power, distractions, and on and on and on and on. But what's missing in that biopsychosocial diagram in the center balance is health. Well, that's where spirituality should be. Spirituality and the spiritual openness is really the core of healing. And it occurs when we have a core, a spiritual core that we uncover that is covered by hurts to our self-worth and dignity. And by that, I mean by self-worth, we're talking about events that have hurt our self-confidence, our self-esteem, our self-competence, ability, having to do with the characteristics that we honor as being human. In the area of thinking, we think of reason and making choices from reason. In emotions, we think of compassion for ourselves and others, and in terms of action, courage to do what we honestly know we need to do. When these hurts to self-worth and dignity can be uncovered and accepted with forgiveness, with self-compassion, with understanding, it opens up a new core, which is what we call spirituality.
So it's sort of like that healing core is the essence of spirituality in practice.
That's what my experience is, yes. And may I say a little more?
Sure.
When anyone talks about a spiritual experience, we identify it with certain characteristics that you hear over and over again that have to do with connection, with having a vitality and an aliveness, a sense of wholeness or integrity. There's usually an emotional component that often is peaceful or serenity, but it may also be awe or wonder depending on the situation. And then there's usually a meaning or purpose in that situation. Now, we can have individuals with spiritual experiences, but when we assist someone to open up that core within themselves, we literally open up the core for therapeutic healing. This is where the power of healing really comes from. It comes from within them. We just help to open it up.
How does that work in the context of what we're going through right now? And why is it an important consideration when working with patients?
Let me answer the second part first. Why it's important is if spirituality is a source of healing and we want our patients to heal, then from my perspective, especially in mental health, it's when we can get to that core that we really don't just cover up with managing situations. We literally get to healing the hurt that's really there. And I don't know what other people's experiences have been like, but in working with my patients, this is the first time I've been through a pandemic, so this is all new to me. But I've noticed three main things that because we've got this frightening thing around us and we're forced to be quarantined and with ourselves and it's a lot alone and certain things start to come up and I see patterns of three things. There's insecurity, whatever has happened in our life that is unsettled, that's insecure, it will be brought up. Inadequacy, events that have left us still feeling inadequate, it will come up. And grief and loss, any unresolved losses and grief are bound to be brought out, partly because we're losing freedoms, we're losing opportunities, we're losing money, maybe we may even be losing friends and family.
So what would you say these ideas have to do with spirituality versus maybe religion or in the context of the pandemic?
Let me talk about spirituality more so that, mm-hmm. Remember, I mentioned these three things, insecurity, inadequacy, and grief and loss. Insecurity occurs when we lose our self-confidence. It may have happened from the loss of a job, loss of money, loss of position with many people that are in the pandemic. Inadequacy occurs when we lose our self-esteem and our self-competence, our ability to do what we have a purpose for. And we lose that. We lose our role sometimes. And then finally, grief. When we lose people, when grief is brought out, when the memories are there, we have grief because those are the people that have given us the dignity that we live with, that have taught us and showed us how to make choices with reason, how to live with compassion, how to have been loved to the point where it gives us courage to be honest and open and standing up for what we need to stand up for. Does that make?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I think it's really important to find some meaning in the midst of this crisis. When you talk about grief having to do with loss of a position or a job or loss of a person in our family or a friend. So it kind of gives me an idea of why we should care, finding meaning in the midst of this crisis. So what would you have to say to that?
I think that's where we all are right now. Mm-hmm. We're all trying to make sense of it. And one of the things that people may not realize, even in this situation, patients are often in a spiritual openness because everything is unsettled. None of this is predictable anymore. And it's an opportunity for us to simply ask, okay, when you're in a situation like this, where do you go for strength? Do you pray? Do you meditate? Do you go to your Bible or your religious scriptures? Do you go to community members for any kind of support? And that already starts to open the role of, and in that case, religion, spirituality may be very much related. The other thing that it brings up is many people have reactions from past religious spiritual experiences that are not so good. And this really challenges, why would God allow COVID-19 to even be occurring? Is there any kind of bigger meaning that's happening that we can make sense? And honestly, I don't know when you're going to air this, but this week we've seen the rioting, we've seen the other issues that have been coming out. It all, I think, hits us even harder with the question of what does it all mean? And what do we do with this? So
we talk about clinicians helping patients during this time. One might wonder when uncovering past traumas, that might feel a little bit impractical right now, but it kind of might play right into what's happening right now and becoming, we said before, finding more meaning or looking for meaning in those simple things. Is that, can you expand maybe on that insecurity idea or simple things?
You just made me think of something that we haven't even talked about in discussing this, that patients that have had some of the same traumas that we are seeing going on in the world now are almost this past week have had just incredibly intense reactions. Let me not focus on those, but let's focus on just, again, those three things: insecurity, inadequacy, and loss. Insecurity in a simple way. Insecurity on a daily basis can be managed by structure, by predictability. And I tell patients, get out of bed, get up in the morning, have breakfast, set at least, plan your day, two or three things that are planned ahead of time. Spend time with your kids. If you're married, spend a little bit of time with your spouse to at least talk about what's going on with all of this. In terms of inadequacy is when we feel weak. We feel too weak to meet whatever it is that we have to deal with, to meet the situation. Simple things: take some deep breaths and exercise. And we're not talking about vigorous workouts, a 10-minute walk the dog. Take a walk every day. If you do any kind of yoga, if you do any kind of online exercise routine, ride a bike, whatever it is, 10 minutes a day is enough to change your sense of strength. And over a period of time, it just gets stronger and stronger. I think
so. You're kind of talking about grief. How would one manage that after a loss, or even a loss of a job?
When you really look at it, everyone's going through losses with this. And I think that's what we're gonna be looking at even as we come out of this. And one of the things that happens when we have time on our hands, when we have grief, when we're spending time alone, is most of us become very judgmental. And self-judgmental and critical, and I see you smile, and regretful. And it, in this situation, can be overwhelming. And I will literally say to patients, stop the judgment.
Yeah.
Just stop it. And when you can just stop it, then you can get back in touch with, I may have lost someone, but there were great things that they did give me. I've got the memories, I carry on things. So even though the positive may be covered over for now, it is not lost at all. But the key is the judgment and the self-criticism just is devastating.
Dr. Chesilos, I just have a couple more questions. So it seems as if some people feel less grounded and are understandably quite upset right now. Do you have any thoughts on beside the exercise and the awareness, what else might help?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, it is not a time to get into past traumas and stuff like this, but there is one thing that I would like to at least put out there for people to pay attention to, is that not just our patients, but much of our culture is living a huge fallacy. We are raised, we are taught, and we sort of are reinforced to have this belief that we are what we feel. I feel sad, I am sad. I feel lonely, I am alone. I feel like a failure, I am a failure. And this really ignores the most important part of human dignity, our capacity to have thoughts, have feelings, have urges to act, and our ability to make choices. And dignity is really about making choices with reason. And as I tell my patients in early recovery, because I work mostly with addictions, with mental health, the majority of emotions and feelings on a daily basis in early recovery are coming from the past. They may be triggered by something that happens today, but they are rooted in the past, grounded in the past, and we have to learn how to not be what we feel. That's probably one of my best suggestions.
Yeah, and so like, it's sort of like, don't believe everything you think, or don't believe everything you feel.
Our mind does crazy things, especially in a situation like this. Notice how everybody's thoughts go to conspiracy theories.
Yes, mine as well. Sometimes, you know, you can't help not think things that are beyond our control, that when they're beyond your control, you kind of tend to think in a complex way.
Yes, that's exactly. We are feeling very powerless.
Yes. So do you have any final thoughts today?
Let me end with what I tell my patients. I'm very straightforward. I will basically say, we're going to get you through this. So don't use, of course, don't use drugs. Take your medicine and don't run out, because with all this TELUS stuff, the systems are making an awful lot of mistakes that we have to catch, and patients are running out of medications. Stay in contact with me, stay in contact with your therapist. I'll be with you on a regular basis. And finally, stay in today. Whenever you let whatever it's going on bring out those memories, those feelings from the past, or get you stuck in what's gonna happen next that hasn't happened in the future, we'll lose our grounding. Stay in today. Today, I am alive, I have food, I have support. Just stay in today and we'll get you through this.
Well, on behalf of Psychiatric Times, I would like to thank you, Dr. Chatlos, for spending your time with us today and for helping us understand these issues.